Dear God, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for worship today and giving us the opportunity to come and just glean from your word today, Jesus, and giving us the ability to come and just worship you and in spirit and in truth, Lord, and just singing songs, Lord, and lifting our voices, but then also just hearing from your word today. I pray that your spirit is with us today. I pray that you show up, God, and because if you don't, this is just the lamest thing in the world, and we just want you to be here. We want you to make yourself famous, and we just want to boast about you today, Jesus. We pray this in your holy son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have a message entitled Growing, Growing, or Gone. And I kind of was thinking about this message because I was at Walgreens the other day. And when you walk down Walgreens, you know, they kind of space things out systematically. You got your aisle for your shampoos, and then you got your aisle for your snacks, and then for your photo department. But they have this aisle at Walgreens, and it's your as seen on TV aisle. And they have like the most ridiculous products in the entire world there. They have like indestructible wallets, and they have like, you know, Snuggies, and you know, it's like the crazy, most pointless garbage in the entire world. But I saw something that actually caught my interest, and I actually have just a 30-second little clip for you guys, and let's see if you guys recognize what these are. You notice most of those stores don't even like exist. I feel like it's probably because of that. But you look at that and you're like, that just looks like the stupidest thing in the history of creation. But you know, at that time, everyone was like, Chia Pets, they're the coolest thing ever. You can have a ram and it has a hairy back, or I don't even know what the whole, you know, thing is that made it so, you know, crazy and awesome, but everybody wanted them because they flew off the store shelves. You couldn't get your hands on one of these things. But I think one of the reasons why they were so popular was the fact that they were so simple. I mean, they just had a couple simple steps. You're like, all right, you take out your chia cat, and then you soak it in water, and then you take it out, and then you spread the seeds on it, and then you know, spread them around, and then you put it in a window or whatever, and then in 1 to 2 weeks, you got your chia animal or your tree to keep your chia animals company. But, you know, it was pretty interesting because as I was thinking about that, I kind of drew an interesting correlation between that and our spiritual lives. But I remember my friend, it was actually in middle school at the time, he really wanted a chia pet. I don't know what his obsession was. He was like, I have to get a chia pet, and it has to be this kind of chia pet, and it was like a chia horse or something like that. And I remember I was like, all right, gotta go get him a chia horse for his birthday. And I went to the store, and I found him. You know, I walked down Walgreens, got the chia horse, wrapped it up, and I gave it to him. And he opened it up, and he was like, a score, chia horse. And he already had a name picked out and everything. He's like, I'm going to name him Douglas, and he's just going to grow, and he's going to live in my room, and it's just going to be the greatest thing ever. And so he tears it out of the box, and you know, I see him dunking it in the water, and he's spritting the seeds around, and then, you know, he takes it upstairs into his room, and then, you know, that was the end of it. And then, like, you know, 1 to 2 weeks later, whatever the time period was, I was like, so how's Douglas doing? And he's like, Douglas isn't doing so well. I was like, how could Douglas not be doing so well? Douglas is a chia pet. He's the easiest thing to keep alive in the world. And so we went over to his house, and I walked into his room, and surely enough, Douglas is still there with all his seeds. And, you know, he doesn't have any chia fur or chia hair or whatever you want to call it. But I noticed something inside his room. He always had his blinds closed in his room. I don't know why. He just enjoyed the darkness so much. But he had this chia pet just chilling on this little cabinet. The thing is the chia pet never got any light, never got any sunlight. And so one of these crucial elements was left out of the picture. And so even something so simple as growing a chia pet couldn't do it because it was lacking one essential element, and that was what? Sunlight. And the point is, when you lack these crucial elements, you're never going to survive. And this is exactly like our lives as a believer. If we lack, you know, elements that are necessary for our growth, we're never going to be able to survive. We're never going to be able to have that thriving element that keeps us growing and keeps us strong. So through this message, we're going to look at a couple crucial things. The first point is going to be the growth through discipleship. And the second point is going to be growth through evangelism. And we're just going to go ahead and jump right into our text. So again, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Starting in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So there's a bunch of verses right there. There's like 17 verses, and we're going to try to get through all of those today. But if you guys are taking notes, which you guys all should be taking notes, the first point of application, again, is growth through discipleship. If we read through the first couple of verses again, it says, but you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live a godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And Timothy is this really young guy. Timothy had a godly mother and a grandmother, and you know, they helped to encourage him to seek out the Lord. And Timothy is saved more than likely through Paul the Apostle's ministry, and he becomes a disciple, and Paul becomes a mentor to Timothy. And Timothy is like a really young guy. He could have been even as young as like 15 or 16 years old. And so Paul is mentoring and discipling Timothy. And Timothy's even going on a lot of missionary journeys with Paul and traveling throughout the world preaching the gospel with Paul. And Timothy, one of the cities that's mentioned there is Lystra. Timothy is from Lystra. And a little bit of background on the city of Lystra is this is the city that Paul the Apostle was stoned in. And so, you know, they get these stones and they're beating him for preaching the gospel. And the way it kind of worked was Paul was preaching the gospel. And then, you know, people got really upset at him, and they stoned him to death, dragged him out of the city. And it's very possible that Timothy could have been even a witness to this whole action and seeing Paul the Apostle, you know, preaching Jesus, preaching these great things, and then people come and essentially kill him. They take his lifeless body, drag him out of the city, and he's watching Paul maybe just laying there, and all of a sudden he's filled with life again, and Paul gets up and just like, man, let's go back in and let's go preach the gospel again after just being beaten. And so from this kind of context and this kind of background, Paul's now pouring into Timothy. And this is so important because Paul, throughout his whole life, experienced so many trials and hardships and those persecutions like he talked about there. So Paul was beaten and he was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison for the gospel. And I'm sure there's so many more things that aren't even mentioned in Scripture. And Paul is teaching Timothy because he's already gone through it. He's already endured all these problems, and he's sure Timothy is going to go through, you know, some of these problems. And Paul tells him inside of that scripture, he says, you know, be careful to follow these things that I'm telling you and that I'm saying in my way of life and all these different things. And it really just kind of reminds me that old people are pretty smart. And sometimes I think we forget that, especially like our parents and like our grandparents and stuff. And you'd be so, I guess, surprised on how much they know that you don't even give them credit for. Like usually you're not like, Grandpa, I'm going through this problem, and I was wondering if you can give me some advice on it. Because he's probably going to be like, I remember when a nickel was a quarter, and a quarter was a nickel. And you know, and they start having all these crazy stories, and you're like, you don't understand what I'm going through at all. But the thing is, they've experienced so much life, you don't even give them credit for. And so that's essentially what Paul is doing. Paul's pouring into Timothy. And this is so essential from a believer to learn from somebody who's experienced more life from us, or more life than us. And the important thing about discipleship is it helps us to avoid making mistakes. Because when our mentor sees us headed down a path that they have headed down in their life that they want us to avoid, or they think is just wise for us to avoid, they're going to make that clear to you. They're going to say, you know, you need to stay away from this path. This is dangerous. You know, I've been down that same thing. You know, I've experienced this. Or if you're going down a path, you know, that's right for you, and they see that, you know, it's going to guide you to life and it's going to guide you to be more like Jesus, they're going to be able to encourage you to go further down that path and encourage you to go at an even quicker pace. And this reminds me a lot like when you go longboarding. Anybody in here longboard or like skateboard or anything like that? It's the best. It's the coolest. But the coolest thing is when you go inside of like a ditch or an arroyo, you're going so fast and you're just kind of, you're weaving in and out and you're going down this huge, just long stretch of land, whether that's a street or whatever. But you have someone in front and they're the lead. And the thing about a lead is it has a lot of unwritten like rules and just things you do out of courtesy for the other people that are with you. Such as if you see a giant crack, you point it out to the people behind you. You know, hey, look, there's a crack here. Don't run into this. Because you've already gone through it. It would be selfish of you to, like, let's say you went down a place at one time and you tripped in this huge crack and you scraped up your ankles and your elbows and you're all beat up. And then next time you go out with your buddies, you're like, watch this. And you avoid it and you just turn around to watch them fall and hit their face. You're not being a very good friend. You're kind of a jerk. But that's the same thing in our lives. When we go through certain things in our lives, especially finding a mentor, they're going to have gone through things and they're going to say, hey, you know, look out for that. Watch out for that. You don't want to run into that. You're going to get hurt. It's going to stop you. It's going to slow you down. Avoid this thing. Another thing discipleship is going to do is it's going to put somebody in authority above you. And they're always going to be examining your life. And the important thing is they're going to love you enough to confront you in the things that you're doing wrong. And it's really good to have AJ in my life because he's one of my closest friends. But it's funny because he's not afraid to tell me when I'm doing something stupid and where I'm about to make some kind of stupid mistake. And he doesn't just tell me, you know, oh yeah, you're doing that wrong. But he confronts me rather in love, which is super important. When you have a mentor, they should be able to confront you, but they're going to confront you in love, but in a way that's direct so you know what you're doing wrong. And discipleship is really good because it offers godly counsel when you're going through your, you know, life's problems. Life's crazy, and we all know that. But sometimes we just need somebody there to just listen to us and hear us out and understand what we're going through. And somebody just give us godly advice and godly counsel. And they're going to be there when you need them the most. But I want you to also understand this, that when we seek out this kind of discipleship, we seek it from godly people. We seek godly counsel. We don't seek advice from our friends that aren't Christians or people around us who aren't Christians. I mean, that is the stupidest thing you could do. I mean, us being alive in Christ, I mean, us knowing how to live and be alive in Christ, we don't seek advice from dead people about living because they don't know what living is like. So make sure when you guys seek counsel, you're not seeking it from people who don't know the Lord. Because, yeah, they can offer up a lot of advice and a lot of good information, but it's not going to ever push you closer to Jesus. So seek godly discipleship. And that's what Paul is again to Timothy. I mean, just notice the verses that we had just went through. Timothy, or Paul rather, gives Timothy so much practical information just about living and about life and about enduring persecutions. And in Velocity, we offer the same thing. We offer discipleship groups. If you go back, we have signups for Element and Brethren. In fact, Element and Brethren start the new semester on Tuesday, and it's the best. Who in here is an Element or in Brethren? Anybody in here? Yeah, there's like a handful of you guys. And, you know, honestly, it's sad. I mean, we should have more discipleship. And even, you know, with what for whatever reason, maybe you your schedule doesn't allow you to come to Element or Brethren. There's plenty of leaders. I mean, you look around right now, even in the back, sitting amongst you, there's always leaders here. And they would love to have even one-on-one discipleship with you guys. I mean, they've taken out of their schedule to serve here in Velocity, and they've taken out of their crazy busy lives to come and do Element and Brethren because they've recognized that discipleship is such an important aspect in our lives as a Christian. It's so necessary. So they take out of their lives in order to pour into yours. And all the leaders are here for you guys. But it's not their job to seek you out. It's your job to seek them out in that area. Because we would love to take you under our, you know, under our wing and just kind of pour into you guys and love on you guys and, you know, be able to instruct you. But we need you guys to come seek us out first. If we read from verse 13 on 17, it says, "But evil men and imposters grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Another thing that discipleship is going to do in your lives is it's going to mature you. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, it's much like our physical lives. You start as a baby, as an infant, and then you grow and you learn and, you know, you're fed and you're nurtured until you eventually, you know, you're full grown. You become an adult. But the difference in a life of a believer and your physical life is you're not going to progress at the same rate. Because someone who's 20 years old and another person who's 20 years old, they're 20 years old. I mean, that's what they are. Though in your life as a believer, you could be a believer for, you know, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, and never have any growth. And the thing is you have these people who give their lives to the Lord, and, you know, they're stoked for Him, and they're growing, and they're on fire, and they're doing all these great things, and they're serving, and that growth is just coming to them, and they're doing it so quickly, and you're like, man, you look at their lives, and they started out as a baby, but they just grew so quickly in the Lord, and they're just doing so many awesome things. But then there are that other, and sadly, it seems to be the majority who give their lives to Jesus and they just never really grow. They never really mature. They never really grow into adulthood in, you know, their Christian walk. And it's sad. And the thing is that a baby Christian, yes, you're saved. Yes, you know, if when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But you can't do much. Just like when you're a real baby, you can't even feed yourself. And you certainly can't feed others. And when you're just a baby Christian, you're not doing anything for Jesus. You're just sitting in your own poop. That's all you're doing. And I want you guys to kind of have that visual image. Because you kind of have a very visual image in our culture now. Because, I mean, you have a lot of adults who aren't really adults in your culture, especially men. I mean, you have like these guys who are like, you know, whatever age. They're like 35 years old and they're living in their parents' basement and they're just playing like Halo all day and they're just, you know, they don't have a job and they don't have a wife or a girlfriend or anything. And not that these things make you mature, not that they make you an adult or a man or whatever, but I mean, you just have these boys in big boys' clothing pretty much. You know, they have the facial hair, they have the height, they have the smell that makes you a man, like, you know, they certainly have that. But, you know, they're really just a bunch of babies. They're still dependent on their parents. They're not living on their own. They're not growing. They're not maturing. And discipleship is going to be what pushes you to grow, and it's going to push you into that maturity. Another thing discipleship is going to do is it's going to equip you against evil. If you read again in verse 13, it says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And one of the biggest reasons we need to keep growing is because evil is always growing. Evil is always continually moving more and more and further towards the direction of evil. And Satan is going to bring up imposters of truth, and he's going to bring up people who are maturing in evil things because they're deceived. This reminds me of a lot of like modern day cults, or it reminds me of a lot of progressive science philosophers in our culture and stuff who are growing so popular. And the thing is they're willing to fight for the lie. You know, you have all these cultists and all these people who, you know, they're growing continually more towards evil, and they're willing to fight for it. They're willing to fight for that lie. And unless you're thoroughly equipped and you're grown up enough to, you know, combat them, the evil is going to overtake you. I was reading just through several studies. I mean, there's countless amounts of studies about Christians walking away from their faith later on in their life. And I found anywhere from 61 to 88% of Christians at some point in their life are going to abandon their faith when they get older. And to be honest, you know, some of us are like, oh, that's alarming. You know, up to 88% of us will leave the faith and go and seek our own desires. But it really, it's not that surprising to me. Because when you send a baby into a war zone, they're always going to fail. Christ said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples. And these are mature Christians who can multiply themselves, and they can lead other peoples to Christ. And the thing is many of you guys are going to go into high school, and you're going to fall away. And that's sad, and my desire is not that that happens, and that's not the desire of the Lord. But you're not going to fall away because you no longer need Jesus, because you've reached some intellectual level. I mean, that's what people think when they get into high school, when they get into college, like, oh, I've outgrown Jesus because, you know, now I've reached some kind of, you know, scholarly level in my maturity, and so I no longer need Jesus. But the reason you're going to fall away is because you didn't care enough, and you weren't disciplined enough to grow in your walk with the Lord. And so you were overtaken by the world. And all because you're still a baby. And now what it's time to do is you have to shake that off, and you have to put your pants on. You have to throw away your bottle, and you have to mature, and it's time to grow. You have to get discipled. You read through verses 14 through 17, and it says, you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. One thing discipleship is in your lives is discipleship is going to be firmly rooted in Scripture. You have to listen to the things you're even being taught now. And I look around and I see such a small portion of you actually taking notes. And now you guys are like, oh, let me reach for my pen and start taking notes now. But, you know, that's just the reality of it. How are you guys able to remember what the Lord is showing you today if you're not taking notes? How are you able to remember anything that the Lord shows you if you're not paying attention? You guys got to understand that in this book, this makes dead people walk. This is going to give you truth that's going to be able to destroy lives. And this gives us light that penetrates darkness. It's so powerful. You have to be rooted in it. Because every problem, every situation, every encounter can be solved in Scripture. And the reason everything can be solved in this little book right here is because in this little blue planet that we call our home, Earth, that's where all our problems exist. And the one who created that, the one who created everything we understand, the one who created our earth, the one who created the entire universe, breathed into this book, and he gave us this book by the inspiration of godly men, and he breathed life and truth into this book. That's why it's so important. And the Bible isn't your last resort you turn to when you don't know where else to turn to. God so often is made to be like this last-ditch effort, like, oh, well, I'll turn to God, you know, when I need him the most. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Why would we need to turn to God in our final moments, or, you know, like if we don't have anywhere else to turn to? We should be turning to God first. So often we try to seek ourselves, we try to seek the moron rather than the maker on all of life's problems. When we first should be turning to Jesus, we first should be turning to Scripture. And when we do, God's going to give up people in our lives to guide and direct and encourage and disciple us. And it's going to lead to our growth. And I'm going to drop something very truthful on you. Life is found when you get closer to Jesus, not when you get farther away. You find water at the well to quench your thirst, not away from it, not moving farther away. Answers are always found at the feet of Jesus. And if we're not fully rooted in God's word, friends, you're going to die. The world is going to come and it's going to swallow you whole, and it's not going to leave anything else behind. You need to find your security in Jesus. You need to give your life to him. But then you need to find your Paul. You need to find your mentor. You need to get discipled. You need to grow, and you need to grow, and you need to keep growing. And after you've been grown through this discipleship, after you're being grown in God's word, then this is going to enable you to grow others. And that's going to bring us to our last point called growth through evangelism. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Evangelism is how you grow others. We're commanded to do something right there. What does it say? It says preach the word. We're called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. And it's not a suggestion. Paul doesn't say, you know, if you feel called or you feel gifted in this area, you know, preach the word. It says preach the word. That's what it says. And there's an exclamation point behind it. We're called to be engaged, and we're called to preach the gospel. And you might be like, well, what is the word? You know, what is this? What is the gospel? The scripture is the word. This book is the word. This is truth. This is life. This is what we're called to preach. Everything that's in here, that's why we have to know it so well. You have so many pastors and teachers and even believers and, you know, all these people, and every Sunday morning they teach illustrations and they teach philosophy and they teach everything else, but they don't preach God's word. And that's sad. It's disappointing because we're commanded to preach God's word. And they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you understand that you're being grown in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the next thing you do is grow others, and that's through evangelism. Because evangelism keeps you active. A terrible habit we have as believers is we only tend to preach the gospel at particular times or at designated circumstances in our lives. We're called to preach the gospel everywhere and at all times. It says in that verse that we need to preach it in season and out of season. And I want to share this with you. You guys are not always going to want to preach the gospel. That's just a truthful statement. In fact, more often than not, you're not going to want to. It's going to feel uncomfortable. Not all believers are going to be like, you know, man, I'm just so excited to preach the gospel all the time, every second of my life. You know, we should. That's what we're called to do, but we don't. And that's when that scripture tells us right there. Be ready to preach it in season when you feel like preaching the gospel, and be ready to preach it out of season when you don't feel like the gospel or preaching the gospel, and especially in those times. You remember, our whole lives are built around the fact that we put our old selves to death, that we die daily to our flesh and embrace the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing in our lives with regards to evangelism. Because we so often tend to just isolate when we actually evangelize. Like, I only preach the gospel when somebody asks me this, or when somebody says this in class, or on Tuesdays from the hours of this to this. And that's not evangelism. Evangelism is a lifestyle. And as a believer, sharing the gospel should be normal, as normal to us as just breathing. Just like we're breathing right now, it should be as normal to you when you share Jesus with people. but it's something acquired as a result of growth. When you grow, you get that desire to share. You get that desire to breathe Jesus in and out all day. And evangelism is going to have many methods and many ways of doing it. Because it says in that passage that we need to convince people. Some of the ways you're able to do that is through apologetics. Apologetics is ways you're able to defend your faith. There's tons of books at the bookstore on defending your faith and ways and tactics and scientific evidence and, you know, these different ways in defending your faith. And in fact, I mean, keep your eyes and your ears open, because we're going to be doing some evangelism classes here in Velocity. And apologetics are one way you're able to share your faith and one way you're able to defend yourself. But there's other times in evangelism where you need to rebuke people. And that means we need to call people out in their sins. And it's not in like some aggressive, judgmental way, but we need to do it in a way that shows love. And the thing is, that's why the Bible is so important, because the Bible, we use it to shine light in the darkness of the world. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict people of their sins either way. Because when we preach the gospel, what we tend to do is we tend to sugarcoat it. We tend to like put this makeup on it and water it down and fix it up because we want the other person to like it better. But the truth of the matter is, as a believer, it's not easy. Our lives aren't easy. In fact, it's guaranteed to be more difficult when you give your life to Christ. We're guaranteed persecution. I mean, Paul talked about it the entire time and at that end part of chapter 3. You got to understand that the language the Bible uses, it never uses, you know, a good life, or it never uses like, you know, the simple life or the blessed life. It uses things like dying to ourselves, crucifying the old man, putting to death our flesh. And the Bible is very descriptive, and it's very radical in the way it describes our lives. And it deters a lot of people. It really does. Because when we preach the word, we need to preach the word. We're not selling somebody some miracle pill for their life, because that's not what the Christian walk is. That's not what following Jesus is about. The gospel doesn't need you to make it sound more appealing. The gospel is what it is. And if you take or add from it, you got to be careful. In Revelation 21, it talks about, you know, adding or taking away from the word. It says that God's going to add and take away the plagues written about in Revelation. And it says that he'll take away from your part in the book of life if we do that. So make sure when you tell people about the gospel, when you tell people about Jesus, you're delivering truth. You're delivering what's in this Bible. You're delivering what is the true gospel of Christ. You're not tricking people into believing in some, you know, magic force. It says to exhort, and this means we need to be praying. Pray is one of the most important and most powerful things and tools given to us as a believer. It's like if you can't reach something on a top shelf, if there's a tall guy standing next to you, you ask him to grab it, and he'll deliver it to you. This is the same way with God. John Campbell said that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And if we have access to the throne room of the living God, why wouldn't we use it for every circumstance? I mean, we're able to approach God at any time, the God of the universe. It's incredible. And what we do is we have these pathetic prayers. We close our eyes and then we pray a couple like really insulting prayers to God that are so not worthy of him. And then we get Jesus' name and we slap it on like a stamp, like we're sending it to Santa Claus. Because we never really expect God to show up and answer our prayers. And you always hear about Christians complaining because, you know, oh, my prayers aren't answered. And you know, I've been praying for this thing and it just hasn't been answered. But it says in Hebrews 5:7 that Christ was heard because he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and in tears to him who is able to save us from death. And he was heard because of his godly fear. It's like, how often do we just sit and we just pray to God and we cry out to him and we're in tears and we're just so fearful because of God is just his awesome power and he's able to just do so many great things. How often do we have prayers like that? Or how often, even more than that, do we just kind of sit and close our eyes and just offer up some ridiculous prayer to God that's so unworthy of him? What we need to do is we just need to give God everything we have. That's part of what growth is. Because when we give God everything we have, it's still not worthy, but we need to give him everything that we do have. I want you to understand that when we pray, God does hear us. He answers our prayers. The psalmist said in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in 2 Peter it says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but in long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It talks about in that passage we need to have long-suffering. We need to be waiting. If you guys are praying for someone in your life maybe to receive Jesus and you've been reaching out to someone, maybe a family member or a friend, keep in prayer. Keep witnessing them. Keep sharing Jesus with them. God is faithful. God doesn't work on our timeline, but if it's a good thing, God will always deliver that to you. Make sure you're grounded in your word. It's the most important thing. I mean, your teachers, they go to college and they go and they learn their subject and they study and they listen to lectures and, you know, they're poured into and they take notes and then they come and they're able to teach you. It's the same thing here. You guys come to Velocity and you hear out of Scripture every week and you hear God's word. You should be doing the same thing. You should be listening. You should be applying. You should be writing these things down. You need to be applying it to your life. That's where growth comes in. And that's how you're able to get that growth. And you're able to get all these things that you glean from being discipled and through being grown through Scripture, and you're able to pass it down to other people. That's how you bring people to Jesus. That's the only way we're going to be able to conquer the world for Jesus, is through evangelism, is through preaching the word and sharing the gospel with people. And our whole lives, we're going to be growing. We're going to be growing, and we're going to keep growing. But the two things in our lives, in our spiritual lives, that are necessary for growth are going to be that discipleship and evangelism. Paul says we need these things in order to fulfill our ministry. And Paul endured so much persecution, and he talks even so much about it in that passage. And he says that the one thing that's going to aid us in overcoming all that persecution that we're going to go through in our lives is growth. And I've been just reflecting a lot in this last year over, you know, what the Lord has done in my life. I graduated through school ministry. I went on a couple really crazy, great mission trips, and they grew me so much. And it's been almost 3 years now that I've been serving in Velocity. And it's been crazy because I also get to see the growth in your guys' lives. I mean, I've had the pleasure to watch some of you guys come in as sixth graders, and now you guys are going to be graduating as eighth graders. That's such a blessing to me. And I love seeing the growth, I mean, physically, but also spiritually. That's the most important thing. But if you remember my friend's Chia Pet Douglas, you know, it was kind of stupid of him, because Douglas could have grown. He could have grown, and he could have grown pretty quickly in 1 to 2 weeks, but there was a couple crucial elements that were missing. And it was so important and needed for that growth in their life. But they were gone. And as funny as that is, it's much more tragic that if you're missing some crucial elements in your life as a believer, if you're missing that discipleship, if you're missing that evangelism and there's no growth in your life, it's much more tragic. Because when you get older and you face the world, if you're not mature and you're not strongly rooted and grown in God's word and in Jesus, you're going to fall away, because you're going to go to war. You're going to face the world, and the world is evil, and they're constantly getting more and more evil. And you don't want to end up a statistic. You don't want to end up falling away from Jesus. It's the most tragic thing that can happen. And us leaders, we want to help you. We want to be able to help you grow. We want to be able to disciple you. We want to be able to equip you in order to share your faith with Jesus. But you have to come ask us. It's going to start with you. It starts with you giving your life to Jesus today, if you haven't done that. And after that, you move forward and you find somebody to grow you and help disciple you and push you more towards Jesus. And then you keep growing and you keep growing and you keep growing and you keep growing. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day. This day is about you and you alone. We pray for growth in our lives, God. I pray for stupid, ridiculous, audacious, life-changing, mountain-moving, world-shattering growth in the lives of these students. I pray that something that you've talked to them today, God, has hit their heart, God, and they see that maybe they're not growing, that maybe they're just still a baby, God, that they need that growth and they need that
growth in whatever way in their lives, Jesus. Please convict them, Lord. Please put your Holy Spirit in them and use them to change the world, God. Use them to change the world for you, Jesus. Grow them. We pray this, Lord, in your holy and your precious name. Amen.